Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, according to research, effective employee engagement can bring about immense opportunities for businesses. Not only does it boost morale in the workplace, it also increases productivity and performance amongst employees by 10% and improves revenue growth by 2.5 times. Conversely, poor employment engagement can be an extremely costly problem, with research showing that $12,000 per employee is lost every year due to turnover in Asia. In early 2020, Qualtrics reported that Singapore fell behind globally in terms of employee engagement or their levels of enthusiasm with their jobs, with Singapore scoring a mere 47% against a worldwide average of 53%. We're speaking with Dr. Natalie Baumgartner, Chief Workforce Scientist at Achievers, an industry-leading provider of employee recognition and engagement solutions. She has more insights. Dr. Baumgartner, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
You folks at Achievers are the industry-leading provider of that kind of solution. Talk to us about how employee engagement has changed since the pandemic. What did it look like before? What were best practices, so to speak? And now, how that's changed?
Yeah, so it's a great question. Organizations around the world are really in different stages of mitigating the impact of COVID-19. And while those challenges really vary by location and industry and business maturity, identifying and implementing just the right employee policies and approaches to remote work have really proven to be quite difficult, but also critically important. Some of the things that we've been seeing in terms of how organizations are functioning during this pandemic include different ways in which organizations' policies are responding to the crisis. So one of the findings is just that remote work is the norm, right? We have, among 800 and plus organizations in a recent survey, more than 80% now encourage or require employees to work from home, regardless of whether or not they're showing coronavirus-related symptoms. It's the new normal. We've also seen more flexibility around benefits. So, you know, in that same study among over 450 organizations, nearly half were requiring employees to first use sick leave and then vacation leave and then other times of paid time off. And so we're just seeing, you know, some really significant changes in how organizations are functioning on many different levels. Costs are also under review, right? So about 50% of the organizations reviewed have a hiring freeze right now, and 20% have reduced the number of contract workers that they employ. We're seeing quite dramatic shifts occurring in the business arena.
Talk about those shifts. How different is Singapore, say, from the larger APEC region when it comes to employee engagement, similarities as well?
The term APEC, as we know, right, condenses a wide range of individual countries, languages, and cultures into that single acronym, right? So when you consider that sheer scale and diversity of the region, it's not really a surprise that there are many differences that exist between those individual markets from one to another. And for starters, a Qualtrics report that was released earlier this year showed that Singapore's overall employee engagement levels are generally lagging behind global standards, coming in at around 47%. And the two countries that led that survey were the US and France, and they were reporting engagement levels closer to 55%. What's more, when it comes to Singapore, we've also noticed how the local culture has influenced, you know, some aspects of employee engagement. One finding in particular that I think is worth sharing here is that when it comes to rewards, employee engagement programs in Singapore, we saw tend to be more rewards focused rather than recognition focused. Whereas when we look to, you know, the Australian market, for example, we're seeing actually reductions in rewards there. Instead, there's a much greater focus on intrinsic recognition, the value of getting that well thought out structured message from a peer or a manager. So their recognition seems to be taking precedence over rewards compared to Singapore.
What does that say, though? The plaque versus the, you know, shopping vouchers, for example?
Right. Well, we see both being important in different ways, but there is definitely over time, if we look at the history of the recognition arena, we do see an evolution from rewards, which is really, you know, that external focus sort of thank you or display of gratitude versus recognition, which may or may not have a monetary component, but we see that recognition, you know, particularly when provided in real time and when it's meaningful, providing just as powerful, if not more powerful, impact on employee engagement than the plaque. Mm. So it's definitely, it's something that data has really pointed to over the years in terms of a shift that we're seeing in the greater recognition arena.
What else came out of Achiever's research and insights?
Right. Well, we do see several misconceptions that exist regarding the concept of employee engagement in the workplace today that, that can often lead to the implementation of ineffective engagement strategies that prevent people from truly thriving at work, which of course is quite the opposite of our intention. In fact, the Achiever's 2020 Engagement and Retention Report revealed that only 19% of employees consider themselves to be very engaged at work. And
that's quite low.
Yeah. It's really low. And we felt like it was really important for organizations to know that they really need to first acknowledge and understand a few engagement truths. So, you know, one of those is that engagement must be approached at a personal level, not a generic one. Sometimes companies take this umbrella approach toward all of their employees, but it's important to remember that not everyone has the same motivations and drivers. So companies really need to consider the differences that exist between, you know, their departments, teams, and even from individual to individual when they're crafting their engagement strategies.
How doable might that be though, Doc? Let's say even in a department of 10 people, that's 10 people, 10 sort of bespoke plans, if you will.
Right. No, I think that's a great point, Howie. And I think it's important to really speak to the usefulness of technology in this case, because it used to be when we talked about engagement, having engagement conversations, you know, if we were having this conversation 20 years ago, we really would be limited in terms of the options that we had to more meaningfully address the engagement of, you know, one individual to another. But today we have the opportunity to use technology that really makes it very easy. Many different approaches, right? It can be, you know, a Zoom conference call to between, you know, manager and each employee to recognize their efforts, to a SurveyMonkey, to, you know, a recognition platform. But technology has brought a huge shift to the way in which we engage and recognize our people that's been really impactful in the engagement arena.
What about some other common problem areas that need identifying so that they can be addressed?
Well, one that's really close to my heart is the reality that engagement's not automatic. And I always say it's not as if, you know, I expect that any organization would say, we believe engaging people is something that should automatically happen. But we know from the research and the literature that engagement requires real-time action. And what we see happening in organizations is today more than in years past is a much greater focus on an adoption of the need to measure engagement, but we're still, as a business arena, not doing a very effective job of then translating that data that we gather through continuous feedback mechanisms or engagement surveying into action. And that's really the nut that has to be cracked. We must make sure that we are implementing ways to really drill down from these big, broad stroke engagement issues like lack of confidence in leadership or lack of development opportunity into more micro issues that can be addressed at the local level so that managers feel empowered to solve problems for their teams on a regular basis.
So we've got to move away from here's what you do to how you do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think we need to just make it really tremendously simple for any very busy leader to be able to act on and then track their actions in order to demonstrate to, you know, one's team, like, I heard you, I heard the issue, and we've identified together a solution and we've closed the loop. Right. Mm-hmm. In order to
that something
really
will
solve
be done.
Yes.
That something instead of, okay, I've heard you, here's the problem. And then now it goes into some sort of vault or void and nothing ever gets done.
Anecdotally,
it tends to feel like that's what happens as an employee when you go to your manager. That's why it comes to a point where you stop going to your manager with these issues.
You captured it beautifully. That's exactly what happens. We survey employees, you know, typically most organizations, we still see that about 80% of organizations around the world are still surveying only once a year or every couple of years, when we know that engagement is so fluid that we really need to be asking our people for feedback many times a year, if not more often than that. And then that data tends to go, we call it the black box of engagement, right? It just like goes into the hole, never to be seen again.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right, Howie. That so then we see our employees, the participation level goes down because they assume nothing's to be done anyway. And so it's not worth, you know, sharing
bringing
their,
it up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. So we have to shift that.
So we're in the stage where, let's assume the new normal will look this way for some time. Do you think that makes it easier or more difficult for employee engagement? So we've got the manager, we take our example with the 10 people in his department, her department, and can't meet them face to face very often, but there's tech at their hands to facilitate that kind of conversation. Does it make it easier or more difficult, you reckon?
It's a great question and something we've been looking a lot at the Achievers Workforce Institute. And one of the things that we found that was really surprising to us, I say that if you had asked me back in the early part of 2020, how I thought a global pandemic would, that required people to social distance and work remotely, would impact employee engagement, I can tell you that I would have said it was not going to be pretty, right?
This is the end.
And certainly it has had a tremendously challenging impact on many individuals and many organizations. So that goes without saying. However, we, in a recent analysis that the Workforce Institute conducted, and this data has also been replicated by Gallup in a similar study, we found that overall engagement, employee engagement has actually increased during the pandemic. And I will tell you that that caused us a moment of pause to really understand, you know, how could that be? Why was that the case? And we've really come down to a couple of things. First, that you set it up so beautifully by saying, you know, what is that manager of those 10 people going to do in this situation? And what we found is that that manager, even if they didn't used to have, you know, one-on-one time with their employees, perhaps they were in the same, you know, office or on the manufacturing floor together, and they might, you know, consider their quote one-on-one, you know, meeting to be like a rushed conversation in the midst of work or passing each other in the hallway. Now managers really have to be very intentional about carving out time to spend with every individual on their team, or at least the team as a whole. Zoom and you know, the go-to meetings of the world. I mean, it's not like anyone wants one more Zoom meeting, but the upshot has been that there's really this like very focused, intentional conversation that's happening. And employees are saying, we see this anecdotally in comments from many, many, many organizations around the world, across industries. Employees are saying, I'm actually having more time with my leader than I did before the pandemic. And so that's something that we've seen that's been a positive. The other that I think is really interesting is that organizations are doing a far better job of communicating in general during the pandemic than they did before. Now, I think in the beginning, it was a little challenging, but most organizations have really caught up and they found that they needed to over-communicate to their employees in order to reduce the anxiety and the angst that was occurring in organizations. So we also are hearing that employees are saying, my company never communicated this well before. Mm. And now I'm really hearing from them a lot, and I'm getting more, you know, ideally more transparent information, more authentic communication than even before the pandemic. So I hope that those are a couple of the things that we take away when we're hopefully not all that long from now on the other side of this, that we can bring to the new normal.
As things progress, though, do you see a sort of hybrid way of doing things as well in terms of employee engagement? As we say, maybe move into a hybrid way of working too, half remote, half back at the office?
You know, absolutely. I think that this pandemic around the world has really shifted the way that organizations are thinking about work. And, you know, there was an Engage Rocket survey that we reviewed of over 800,000 Singaporean residents who revealed that, you know, over nearly 70% of respondents said they would prefer to work from home. And so the extent to which hybrid office structures have gained popularity around the world, and certainly in Singapore, really, I think, serves as this indicator that organizations are really empowering people to work in different ways, and they're also preparing their infrastructure for a sustainable work from home arrangement that, you know, goes beyond the, hey, you've got a couple of days to get your supplies and run home and we're not sure when you'll be back. We're many months into this pandemic and have learned a lot about some of the real benefits of working from home. So I think that organizations are absolutely going to be considering these hybrid and even customized ways of working for their employees.
I wish we had more time. Dr. Natalie Baumgartner is Chief Workforce Scientist at Achievers. Doc, thanks for joining us today.
It's been absolutely my pleasure. Thanks so much, Howie.
This has been Career 360 on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.